Bears have been around more than 100 years. They haven't had a whole lot of dominant quarterback play.
Yep.
Does that intimidate you at all?
Whole lot of dominant quarterback play?
Yeah.
Nah, not at all. I don't compare myself to the other guys, you know, that's there or been there. I think I'm my own player, and, you know, I tend to like to, you know, create history and rewrite history.
It's that guy, Williams.
That guy, Williams. 670 The Score is where you are. Spiegs and Anthony Herron on your Score afternoon show. Today, in 1 hour, we'll talk to Chris Emma with the latest on all the Bears' cuts, the roster machinations, and such. That is the vocally talented Anthony Herron right there. How you feel today, sir? You good? Good. Glad I asked. I don't know what's happening.
I love it. I love every second of it. I want it to keep going for as long as possible.
Is he doing DMX?
Yeah,
that's why he's barking. This is a DMX music song.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Bring it.
I recognized him doing DMX, even if I didn't recognize the track.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
It's funny because Parkins always used to do his DMX right around this time.
What? Bring it.
Where my dog's at?
Where's Omar?
Dog's love. Everlasting.
Omar's his dog's name, right?
Yeah, you nailed it.
Okay, yeah.
It's dark and hell is hot.
Come on, man.
Obviously, it's going to be a little hotter in hell. No AC. You went there because you did something bad. They're not going to. Obviously, clearly, they won't reward you.
Clearly.
Obviously, stop being greedy.
Shame.
Get to the needy. You're twisted. Your mom's a hoe.
Danny MX. Right here. That's what we got going on. Shane, I don't know if it made it all the way to Greece, but the first promo for Breakfast Ball included him telling the world that his dog's name is Omar.
Did he tell him about like the Deshaun Watson thing?
No, he should have. It'll come up. It'll come up. It's a lot of context to try and explain, though. I can't wait to hear how exhausted Craig Carton is from that one.
Actually, Tanny's been saying it for a while that people will see it at the airport. It was on at the Munich airport yesterday for my transfer.
No!
It wasn't. It was like 7 a.m. Chicago time.
Whatever. I thought maybe they'd be big in Munich.
No. Yeah.
talking a lot of football over there in the Munich airport. But Spiegs and Ann Herron, and you know what I noticed today?
What's
it? I noticed one of the subtle changes to your Bears fan existence because we have Caleb Williams here. Today I noticed it. As the steady stream of NFL cuts was hitting my timeline on the old X, the old Twitter, I saw all these quarterback cuts. All these different, like, ooh, Bailey Zappi. Oh, yeah, Bailey Zappi got launched. Absolutely. I use the Parkinson Spiegel account.
Oh.
That's what I do.
Shouldn't it be Score Afternoons now?
It's a good point.
Okay.
It's a good point. They didn't change that.
It's gonna go to it soon. So Speaks might have to start his own Twitter account. Twitter account.
What?
Yeah, Grody did. Why can't you?
I can.
You could build that massive audience again.
You think so?
I think so.
I just assumed Bigsy was letting you back on Twitter now that Danny was gone.
Oh, that's a good point.
We should put him on today.
Are we allowed?
we're taking Bigsy from the morning show. He's our new football regular.
Is the show account blocked by Bigsy?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I hadn't tried. That's too
Tanny.
Bad.
Are you?
I think we have a chance now.
You're not right, Tanny.
No,
I'm not either.
I'm not, yeah.
Huh.
Let's not make the ask. Yeah, let's not make the ask because then we realize, ooh, maybe it's not just the one guy.
You unblocked me. Yeah. I once blocked somebody. I once blocked somebody who really was relentless in becoming unblocked, uncomfortably so, until eventually I just had to click that unblock button and move on with life. But, you know, it's another story for another day. But I noticed today one of the subtle changes to my Bears fan existence because Caleb Williams is here. All those quarterbacks were getting released, and I did not care. It just didn't even faze me. Years past, maybe every year, I'd be like, you know what? Maybe that guy would be good for the quarterback room. Maybe there's some upside there. Oh, look at that. The Browns are keeping all four of their quarterbacks. That's interesting. Would have been nice to have, you know, one of those guys possibly in the room. Oh, Malik Willis got traded. This could be a good spot for a restart for Malik Willis. Anything like that. Today I noticed as all those quarterback names were Nate Sudfeld. Boy, that guy's got some upside. I don't care. I was Jay Cutler at a urinal when it came to reading those names, and I realized that is a product of confidence in the quarterback here in Chicago. That is an unfamiliar feeling and a delightful, subtle change to the Bears fan existence.
I respect that, and I hope you enjoyed it, just even if it was that moment where it just kind of washed over you, like, you know what? Feeling good about where we're at quarterback right now.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's a nice change. So that's the category. The category for conversation is subtle changes to your Bears fan existence because we have Caleb Williams. 312-644-6767. Text it in if you have noticed such things in your football life. Feel free to call if you have as well. Anything come to mind for you, sir? Anthony Heron.
Yeah, I mean, as much respect as I have for this division that I've played in before, and seeing the history, the decades of quarterback dominance that's been there, especially in Green Bay, this is the first time I think I've been in a space where I said, you know what? There's a world where in the years to come, the Bears could end up with the best quarterback going in this division. That feels different. That feels new. It feels fresh versus anything I've really felt about the Bears quarterback room at any point since I can remember cheering for, following, covering the Bears.
So that confidence or that ability to see it.
Yeah.
You can see it long term. Did you ever hit that?
With Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers in this division? No.
How about
with
Fields? With Fields in the last 3 years, did you have moments? You have moments where you saw it?
With Jordan Love in Green Bay last year, yeah. But, I mean, it's like, okay, Kirk Cousins is in Minnesota. Jared Goff is in Detroit. Justin's going to have to leapfrog a couple of guys. Right now, yes, Jared Goff is still in Detroit. Got a lot of respect for Jared Goff's game. But could I see in the seasons to come here that Caleb could leapfrog everybody else in this division?
Yeah.
I think that possibility exists.
All right, so that's a nice just sort of an existing change in the way that you think about football. Shane Tanney, have you guys noticed anything, a subtle change to your Bears fan existence because Caleb Williams is here?
Sorry, go ahead. Tanney, go ahead.
I asked him what you
said you want to go first. I said, yep, and then you started talking.
It's fine. It's fine.
I mean, I know we haven't worked together in like 10 days and our rhythm's off.
It's fine. It really is.
You go ahead. Please, Tanney, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Mine are not interesting. You'll have a better one anyway. I got two small things. One is all you video gamers out there, it's fun to play with the Bears in Madden again.
Oh.
I downloaded that on my vacation. That's a fun time. I'm having some problems with throwing some picks over the middle with Caleb, though. You know, I'm worried about the schedule and in rhythm stuff. Yeah, so I think that's going to be a problem. It's not all an indictment on my gameplay. But also, the idea, if you have a football fan in your life, the idea of getting them a Bears-related present, either for Christmas or Father's Day, Mother's Day, birthday, it's just like Bears swag. People are proud to wear their Bears stuff again.
Uh-huh.
You know? So I think that's all a product of Caleb.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. Because a couple of packages have gone missing from the front desk in my building there in the South Loop, and one of them, there was like on the little message board of all the people in the building, one of them was like, well, this one that did go missing, it was a Bears jersey. It was a Caleb Williams jersey, so that's a highly desirable item that may have gone missing. So yeah, there's a little bit more of a buzz about that. He's a good dude.
Well, he is about it.
Yeah, he's all about it.
I've gotten used to watching football as a Bears fan, like a smart football fan would, from the offensive and defensive line out, right? At the snap, you watch the lines to determine if it's going to be a run, pass, whatever. That's how you watch football. I found myself ignoring the line and just watching whatever Caleb does with the ball. I am watching the football in a completely different way than I ever have as a Bears fan.
That's interesting.
It's incredible to just be able to focus on.
I think like a Greek, actually. I think the Greeks watch very closely just the quarterback and the path
of the
football.
Well, you observe one every week on Fox with Lou. Like, you
I'm
see
very
how
close.
He watches football.
Very close to one. Yeah, constantly. I know exactly how they love to watch the game.
And sometimes he watches it with Thanasis, right? up at their place.
In partnership.
How does Lou watch football? No, but that, I think that's fair.
It's fun to watch the quarterback take the ball and have trust and faith that he's going to do something responsible with it, and that's the way I've found myself watching him.
Yeah.
It's a fun feeling right now. How quickly will it be dashed?
I don't know, man. Well, here's the thing. I was going to be I have not gone to a Bears regular season game in a long time. I was invited to one in early October, the Panthers game, the Bryce Young revenge game. Mm. I was invited to that game.
Normally you get offended and you say no, but this time you're considering it.
I don't never get offended. I always appreciate any sort of invite or anything like that. But like, I could get a press pass and go.
How dare you invite me to a Bears
game? Right. No, but it's like, I always feel like it better serves the listeners and serves the experience to watch on TV like we all do, and that's a better thing. But this time I realized, wait a minute, I want to go and feel what this is like to be at a game where the quarterback is the real deal and see what that theoretical wave of confidence and excitement, man. I mean, I kind of wish I was there at the preseason game when they scored on that final drive of the first half and that place started to go crazy. That looked fun as hell.
Right.
You know?
So it is a different feeling.
I want to go and feel that experience down there.
Yeah, and to be able to do that in the midst of a stretch of time here where you know you got the first half of the season before they get into divisional play also, so maybe there is this on-ramp into success early in the year. And I mean, you know, doesn't necessarily mean you can take anything for granted with this Bears squad as young as they are, but to have a quarterback who folks feel like it's on the cusp of something, like there's something that could be special there, it's a fun place to be as an observer, as a fan, as somebody who's passionate about the Bears.
Let's talk to Mike in Rochelle, who dialed the number and is on the score. What's up, Mike? Good afternoon. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks, guys. I say, as a diehard Bear fan, one of my most refreshing feelings is just all the years past, it's always been, well, at least our defense is going to carry us, and, you know, they'll just keep us in the game, and if our offense can be close at the end, you know, we might get lucky on, you know, pick six or 6 points on defense. It's just super refreshing as a Bear fan to actually sit back and see my offense complementing my defense and even our special teams as a weapon, and then also, which I love that now I don't have to worry about my defense carrying me because, you know what, I got confidence that my second string guy could 80-yard drive and put one in the end zone.
Yeah, yeah. So confidence in both those quarterbacks is a thing. A texter pointed out as I was talking about noticing those cuts, those quarterback cuts from around the league, it's as much a reflection on Bagent to know, like, oh, we don't even need a two. I feel good about the two.
Yeah.
You know, feel good about the backup quarterback. I believe that dude can get us through a couple of games if need be. You know? Yeah, no, it's interesting. As texters are getting in at 312-644-6767, it's like there has never been a wider separation for preseason and regular season Bears ticket envy. Yeah, like, you know, having those regular season ticket possibilities is a pretty damn good feeling.
I wonder how the betting lines have changed in that scope of time. Now that people have gotten to lay eyes on Caleb in games for the Bears, seen some flash plays, some highlights, seen this defense look the way they've looked. I wonder how different that outward perception of what the Bears are capable of this year has adjusted just over the last few weeks with a chance to actually lay eyes on him in a game, in a Bears uniform, and just get a sense for whether or not that the excitement that's there, but the confidence that could be there as well if it's impacted like the betting markets and the way that people view this squad.
Texter says that he finally bought a Bears camo hat just now because he hunts on his buddy's land. He's a Packers fan. But finally, it feels like his buddy's a little bit nervous because he's giving him less crap, who was a great overnight host, I always thought. That guy is going to wear his Bears camo hat as he hunts. We have a tweet from Brad Biggs that Tanny has grabbed and put in the rundown. Thank you, Chris. The Bears have terminated the contract of fullback Kari Bleisingame as a vested veteran, but the plan is to bring him back. Team is expected to re-sign him on Wednesday for the same amount after it processes an injured reserve mood. So some roster juggling, and KB will stick. That's interesting. We're wondering if he was even going to make the team. Bears is a fullback. I think he topped out at about 16-17% of the snaps last year, and there was no full-time fullback for the last three seasons in Seattle under Shane Waldron. So we wondered whether Kari Bleisingame would have a spot here or not. So cut, but expected to come back.
Yeah, and I think that secondary part of the Brad Biggs tweet is important because just for me, logically in my head, I thought Kari Bleisingame was one of the players who I wasn't worried about whether or not he'd make the squad. I thought he was definitely going to make it because if you don't want a fullback on your team, you don't even need to bring him to camp. He doesn't need to be a part of the offseason program. If it's been determined by Shane Waldron through conversation with Matt Eberflus, nah, my offense doesn't really use a fullback, doesn't want a fullback. I got no use for the guy. You can just cast him off and send him elsewhere. I don't know what the guaranteed money situation is for Kari Blasingame, but if you don't want a fullback, there's no other legitimate purpose that you really need one around for if you're that confident you're not going to use it. So he doesn't strike me as a guy because of his position that like earns his way onto the roster during camp. They've either determined that they're going to use a fullback or they've determined that they're not going to use a fullback because Blasingame is the best one they have either way. So if you knew you weren't going to use a fullback, you could have gotten rid of him months ago. So I've been confident the whole time Blasingame is going to make the team.
That makes sense. That makes sense intellectually. You know, all position player, skill position cuts lead to Velus Jones Jr. thoughts. We're kind of waiting around here on some of these cuts and what's going to be, wondering if Velus is going to make the team or not. You and I lockstep on thinking that he should not make the team.
Yeah.
Mark Grody in here yesterday thinking that he will make the team. Other Bears writers and experts thinking that he will make the team as well, that there is fondness for him in the coaches' rooms, among other places.
And the fact that Colin Johnson, you know, we were talking about that dichotomy between players who are maybe amongst the actual best 53 versus guys who you just feel better about getting onto the practice squad, and the fact that Colin Johnson was going to hit waivers this morning, then you know that informs the idea that that's one player who has shown more so than Velus has, that I think, all right, if they're willing to waive Colin Johnson, then that's at least one roster spot, one guy that I would view Velus Jones as in direct competition amongst the 53, who, all right, they've made that Colin Johnson decision. That's a good thing for Velus to potentially make this roster.
Taking your calls and your texts on subtle ways that your Bears fan existence has changed because Caleb Williams is here, and several people saying that the skill positions, like we're talking about, not waiting for cut down day to see if there's some other veteran wide receiver or veteran running back you can add, because you actually feel pretty damn good about the skill position groupings. Allen Robinson got cut today by the Giants. You know, years past, depending on the makeup, I'm sure we'd get the random text or tweet like, hey, should the Bears look into that? Nobody's thinking that that's a good idea right now.
No. I'd like them to have their eyes open for offensive linemen, as other veterans might be out there and have an opportunity from different teams.
Sure.
But wide receiver?
No way.
Feel pretty good about where the Bears are at right now.
Feel good about where they're at. Here's another one. First year of season tickets after being on the waiting list for 15 years, made it into the very last row. Was planning on selling the whole year, but after going to the preseason game and feeling that electricity, I immediately decided to go to the opener. Bear down. So it's interesting.
Yeah. You know,
that's how life is changing for that human. I texted my pals, the Boston boys, as I call them, guys I went to college with, big time Patriots fans, about like what life was like for them with Brady. Just wanted to ask, what are some of the subtle ways that life was, you know, changed for them while they had him? And one of them said, the odd confidence while watching. We knew that every game, regardless of the odds, we had a chance. Never felt that way watching sports for any of my favorite teams, and I doubt I ever will again. So just, that's the dream, right?
I mean, I'm married into a Boston sports family. They are all insufferable. It's just very annoying. From that 20-year stretch of Brady and Patriots dominance to just experience their confidence and their glee over dominating the sport the way that they did. So I look forward to Bears fans being able to be insufferable in that same way.
By the way, you asked, and if it's answered, the Bears to win the NFC North opened at plus 375 and are now at plus 260. So that's quite a drop in odds.
Meaning there's enhanced confidence.
Yes, enhanced confidence.
All goes over my head when you say it that
they
way.
They are liking what they see. Yeah. We are staying abreast of all cuts for the Bears' first 53-man roster, and we'll talk to Chris Emma about all of that in detail at the top of the hour. But when we come back, is this Cubs move as unseemly as it seems? A noted Cubs voice makes an appearance post 10 o'clock here on The Score.
Come on now!
Wait a second, Dustin Rhodes!
Stop it!
What are you doing, Dustin Rhodes?
Here he goes!
Give me a break. And then Craig Counsell, that's baseball. Well, that's just baseball.
Oh, we got Dustin Rhodes here.
It's about damn time this man made his appearance as a guest right here on the Score Afternoon Show. Spiegs and Anthony Herron with you, keeping tabs on all things Bears roster cuts, but wanted to check in with a Cubs voice after what seems like an unseemly move last night, putting Drew Smyly on waivers, available to anyone And we'll see if he indeed ends up on another team. And joining us right now on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, is our friend Dustin Rhodes from the Fly the W podcast. Good afternoon, good sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're good. Did you nap? Do you usually nap?
No, never a nap. Never a nap. Wow. No, I went and taught. I went and taught our next bosses over at the Illinois Media School. That's what I do between 10 and 2.
Unbelievable. Well, it's better than listening to Bernsey and Lawrence. Am I right?
I'm going to plead the fifth on that one, Matt. I'm going to stay out of that one right now.
Yeah, I guess Speaks over at the Illinois Media School. They could benefit from some of your knowledge over there.
Dustin has my number. I'm always available.
There's a downtown campus too. Something. I'm out at O'Hare, so I do the O'Hare campus.
Oh wow, okay.
Downtown campus.
I've been to the other campus, but most of my time has been at the downtown campus.
I mean, this may shock both of you, but that's not why we called Dustin. So Dustin, I wanted to get your thoughts on the Drew Smyly placing on waivers available to anybody. As we do the math on this, it seems like they could save a little under $5 million, which would indeed, if we are to believe one of the salary cap sites, put them under that first level of the competitive balance tax. It seems like the possible straight money dump for a team that is very much alive, frankly, in the pennant race. Your thoughts, sir?
Right, they're very much alive. They're 5.5 out. They've got 30 games to play. They need 88 wins. They might be able to get there. It's 22-8. Public school educated, I think 22-8. But last night, as soon as the game's over, I clicked over to the Sox for a couple of minutes. I heard Steve Stone talking Groundhog Day as the Sox were blowing yet another lead. I went back over to Marquee, caught what the post-game press conference. And all these rumors are flying around Twitter during the game about Drew Smyly. And then, of course, Craig Counsell's asked about it. And it just came off as a little bit terse. Like he was ticked off that somebody would even... I got no comment on that. Now, Craig's job is to win games. And Drew Smyly is a better option than a lot of the guys they've been running out in high leverage situations. And they made a whole bunch of moves this afternoon, which I'm sure you guys have already talked about. The only thing that this would make sense, where it doesn't come as a ugly move as you think about it a little bit, not to have as many knee-jerk reactions, jerk being the key word that I do, is that do you think it's possible that Drew Smyly said to the Cubs, I would like to see if a contender would want me, if somebody that's right there, somebody's already in, not a wild card team, maybe they want his services and he wanted to see if that was a possibility. Maybe they're doing him a solid.
Well, you know, we'll check on that. The moves that you're talking about are Julian Merriweather to the injured list. Keegan Thompson is brought up from the Iowa Cubs, and Jack Neely sent back down to Iowa. Daniel Palencia is here. So Palencia and Keegan Thompson to the bullpen.
I actually mentioned that to Speaks a little while ago, Dustin. I was wondering if the reaction that we heard post-game from Craig Counsell was something that he interpreted as maybe being a little bit bristly, you know, about whether it's about the question itself or about management. But I was wondering if Speaks interpreted that more as being about just some frustration with management for the space the Cubs are finding themselves in, because they are starting to find themselves a bit, even though it's still inconsistent. So it sounds like you think, yeah, he's a little bit upset with management.
Right.
His job
is to help them win games, to put the team in a position to win games. I guess Carter Hawkins and Jed Hoyer's job is to save the owner some money while keeping their job and keeping the future brighter, I guess. But again, think, Matt, do you think Drew Smyly's better than the guys that just moved up and moved down? Wouldn't you rather be able to call upon Drew Smyly than Daniel Palencia? I know they're two different pitchers, but wouldn't you rather have Drew Smyly as an option?
Neither of the guys they just called up should be first call, especially against lefties, over Drew right. Smyly. No chance. And now that with Mark Leiter gone, I mean, Smyly was the only lefty out there and the only one. The only way it makes sense to me, if you're like actually trying to maintain a level roster here, is if Jordan Wicks comes up and assumes that role. And that's something that they believe Jordan Wicks can do, as opposed to start
decision on him, right? He's had enough. I would think he's had enough practice in the minor leagues. Either he's going to throw again this year, or you're going to let him sit and rest and get ready for 2025.
Yeah. I mean, one more thing on Smyly. Matty Lee tweeted a little while ago that if Drew Smyly clears waivers, The Cubs plan to keep him with the team. Other teams have 48 hours to submit a claim, so should know tomorrow. So I don't know. That lends a little credence to the idea that it might have been a Smiley request to try and make his way onto a playoff roster.
Right. And if that's how it turns out, okay, sure. But I can understand why Craig Counsell would be upset about that. And maybe this is the first little, is the right word? I know you guys love these kind of things. Kink in the armor. Did I use that one right? no, I didn't use it right.
Okay. I don't think so.
No comment on that.
I mean,
if not, I'm sure I'll hear it later on.
Yeah, no, I don't think you did. There's no kink shaming on this show.
Okay.
I believe it's a chink in one's armor, but it's scary to say. In these day and times, it's a scary phrase to
maybe
say.
Maybe I was better off saying kink then. Maybe
you probably were. You probably were.
Yeah.
You took
I knew it was something
route.
Like that, but yes. maybe this is something that is going to get in the way of the nice, harmonious relationship that is Jed Carter and Craig Counsell.
I don't know if it's harmonious. I think they tussle a little bit, and that's okay by me, Anthony. And
if Drew Smiley wanted to be placed on be designated for assignment, I mean, why grant him that? Why grant him that if you still feel like he's a piece that can help you try to get into the wild card here? That's the part that I still wouldn't even completely understand. I mean, it's the thought that maybe you'll bring him back and you don't want to, you know, sort of, you know, have a relationship rift between you and one of your relievers. I don't know why he would be able to sort of ask himself out of town if you feel like you're still attempting to do something legit down the stretch here in September. It doesn't make any sense to me.
But if he did ask and you don't grant it and now he's ticked off, do you want that either? And maybe long-term, a veteran pitcher could say, hey, I came to the Cubs because I thought they had a chance. When they didn't have a chance, I asked to leave and they let me. On the flip side, what happened with Hector Neris, veteran pitchers might say, hey, you know what? This is what happens with the Cubs. This is how they deal with things. When things don't go the way things are planned, then they cut you and throw you out to the side. And then that buyout in the offseason, that $2.5-3 million buyout, now you're not getting that. So that's the opposite side of it. So which way is it?
I think even in that example, if it is Smiley asking out, that still to me is evidence that the Cubs don't feel like they got it this year, which I think most of us agree that they don't got it this year. But internally there within the organization, if they're saying, yeah, we're willing to let a guy walk who's going to help us win games and have a chance in September, even if he's asking out, then that to me is them saying, because if they thought they had a legit chance, why would you let him walk if he's helping you?
That's the thing. These things absolutely can and do send messages. You know, it's interesting because I think of the Yu Darvish trade. I remember talking to somebody in the organization, Dustin, right after that saying, can you please explain this to me? And the first part of the response was, look, we got $58 million off the books. You know, I mean, it's like, so there was no doubt about that. Right. And of course, we think of the Kyle Schwarber non-tender. But there have been other examples of them doing the right thing. They ate Jason Hayward's contract with plenty of money left on that. And to a lesser extent, Trey Mancini still getting paid this year. Tucker Barnhart still getting paid this year. They didn't bother to try and bring those guys back and force them onto the roster, even though they're getting paid. So if they're capable of doing those kind of moves in the right way as well.
Eating Jason Hayward's contract doesn't prove that they're not trying to unload money right now.
No. But there's examples on both sides, but it's hard to, I don't know. I mean, look, even the Mets did it, right? Even the Mets did it when they pivoted last year to try and make sure they could pivot as much as possible before they again went over this year. So teams do play with these limitations, Dustin.
Yeah, they do. They have to play within their budgets and limitations and all that. It's hard for Cub fans when it is the Cubs are still, I believe, the most expensive baseball experience out there. I mean, how much beer is poured at Wrigley Field on a Friday afternoon at 1:20, right? Between 1:20 and 4 o'clock. I bet it's a lot of money. It's a lot of Budweiser. It's a lot of 312 or whatever else they're serving out there. So, I mean, they have the money. Come on. They're not still suffering from COVID and everything else. They have the money. So to dump, I want to believe as a Cub fan and as somebody who still has a little faith in Tom Ricketts and Jed Hoyer, I want to believe that this is something that Drew Smiley asked for. I want to believe that tweet that if he clears and nobody else picks him up, hey, come on back and help us out.
Hey, when you and Crawley are talking Cubs on Fly the W, can you at least admit that over these past, what, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, it's actually been a pretty fun team to watch?
Oh, they've held our interest. There is no doubt about that. There was a point, trying to remember, maybe a month ago where I thought that was it, that they were absolutely positively done.
Sure.
They keep winning two out of three. They keep winning two out of three. You know, like everybody, you know what I hate though is like they have to win tonight because there's no way they could beat Paul Skeens. I mean, come on. Paul Skeens is really, really good. But I mean, they're going to play tomorrow, right? 11:35 first pitch on the score. You know, an abbreviated Burns, Holmes, and Rahimi. Maybe Layla's not even there tomorrow because it's only a 90-minute show or something. Is it even 90 minutes? It might not even be. It might not even be a 90-minute show. But
well, we'll see. What have they today? We'll have to see what they have today. Dustin, the point is, that's less of that show for you not to listen to when you're teaching at the Illinois School.
Right, on my way to the Illinois Media. Well, it's either Illinois that or tape delay. Or tape delay Greeny hosted by somebody other than Greeny. those are my options.
That's why their show's doing that well. All right, you said it. I didn't. Hey, Justin, thank you, buddy. Nice to talk to you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for the invite. Take care, guys.
Are you wearing a vest? I didn't look on Zoom. Is he wearing
a vest? No, I have a collared shirt.
Oh, okay. All right.
I do have on. You want, if you know, truth be told, I am wearing shorts and flip flops right now, but I'm at home. Oh! Not at work.
Wait a minute. Wow. That's got to be a violation from what I hear.
We would not
I'm at home. Yeah. I'm at home. I'm not at school.
Not at work.
I'm in Elmhurst. I'm in shorts and flip-flops.
Okay. I don't know if we will let you on the air. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Take care.
All right, buddy. That's Dustin Rhodes joining us from The Morning Show and the Fly the W podcast. It's Spiegs and Anthony Herron staying up to date with everything in terms of Bears cuts. And we'll check in with Chris Emma at the top of the hour, which by then we should have a finality on the first 53. But we interrupted an interesting conversation with Anthony Herron about what it's like, what happened to him 20 years ago today. We'll get back to that next on The Score.
I could see for the first time that Jimmy was a nervous wreck. His mind was going in 8 different directions at once.
I think Maury tells his wife everything.
Maury, him?
That's when I knew Jimmy was going to whack Maury. That's how it happens. That's how fast it takes for a guy to get whacked.
Oh, it's so sad. The following players have been waived by the Chicago Bears. Micah Baskerville, the linebacker. Dude, he picked off a bunch of passes, had a pick six, all of that. Anthony Herron, whatever, Micah Baskerville is gone. That seems that Noah Sewell has made the team, last year's draft pick. I can tell you that. Tight end Brendan Bates, stop me along the way as we chat about these people. It's Spiegs and Ann Herron here on 670 The Score. Chris M at the top of the hour to give more context on all these names. Brendan Bates is cut. Theo Benedet, who entertained with karaoke in the debut episode of Hard Knocks.
Very entertaining in that regard, especially the time he spent in his underwear in front of everyone.
But then he got hurt, so he was waived. Jake Curran, the offensive lineman, has been waived. Carl Jones Jr., the linebacker.
Carl.
Who had been impressive as well. Heard Brad Biggs talking about both Baskerville and Carl Jones Jr. as possible deserving players over Noah Sewell. But he makes the team. Leon Jones, the defensive back. Defensive lineman Jamri Croma. Cameron Lyons, the defensive lineman Deshaun Mallory, was waived.
Bolingbrook native, Raider Pride. He will get another opportunity elsewhere. Former Michigan State Spartan, Arizona State Sun Devil. He'll be somewhere.
Paul Mawala, the linebacker. Austin Reed, the quarterback. You think they'll try to sneak Austin Reed onto the practice squad?
For what?
I don't know, man. Got to keep some quarterback on the practice squad.
So put Brett Rippon there.
All right, well, we'll see. Either one, Brett Rippon cut earlier today. Reddy Steward, the defensive back, who had a couple of picks, including a pick six in the preseason.
Very deep secondary.
Does not make the team. Roe Torrence and Corliss Waitman. Those are the players who were waived by the Chicago Bears.
Corliss never had a chance. Greatest punter in the history of Western civilization is with the Chicago Bears. Corliss was a placeholder.
Torrey Taylor, by the way, had his international player roster exemption expire, so now he counts on the active list towards the 53-man roster limit. And then the following players have been released, and the difference between being waived and being released, Ant, is?
If you're being released, it is because you are a vested veteran. You can immediately enter free agency, whereas if you're waived, you're not allowed to immediately be an unrestricted free agent. You have to clear waivers before someone can sign you.
Got you. And then these players released. Kari Bleisingame, the fullback, has been released.
Yeah.
With a chance to be brought back. Steven Carlson, the tight end, has been released.
Deep tight end room. He showed up in a situation where someone was going to have to get hurt. The Bears are going to keep those main three tight ends we've known the whole time.
And then we'd heard earlier in the day about Brett Rypien released. Colin Johnson, the wide receiver, looked early on in camp like he might have a shot. Instead, he was released. Adrian Colbert, the defensive back, released. Aviante Collins, the offensive lineman. Byron Cowart on the defensive line. Tarvarius Moore, the defensive back, released. And Greg Stroman Jr., another member of that very deep secondary. Stroman played some for this team last year and looked pretty good in the preseason as well.
Looked pretty good in the preseason. Looked pretty good in the time he got, the action he got on the field last year as well. It's just a hard, hard defensive back room to be able to break into. Get your time, get your run, and that's where you start to count numbers and you're looking around just thinking, ah, so if this guy's here, that guy's here, they're all playing well, they're all healthy, they cost this much, they've been invested in that much. And it's hard not to play that numbers game in your mind, but you just got to step out there and do the best that you can. And Greg Stroman, he's got good film, so I'm sure he's going to end up somewhere.
The following players were placed on the reserve injured list designated for return. That's Larry Borum, the offensive lineman. So he has to miss, is it six games? He has to miss.
Oh, Pup is six games, and I'm trying to remember if that is the same now with the other. If physically unable to perform is one list,
right? But
then you also have the injured designated for return list, which is a separate form of IR.
We'll get full clarity on that from our guy Chris Emma at the top of the hour.
Four games.
Thank you very much. So 4 games, Larry Borum has to be out for, and then will be designated for possible return after that. And the defensive lineman Jacob Martin also on that list. And then this one, Dante Pettis makes the reserve injured list, so that means he's out for the year.
I mean, what did I miss with Dante Pettis? Am I forgetting something catastrophic that happened to him at the end of the preseason?
No, I thought he was going to make this team.
Yeah, I mean, well, Shane's been in Greece; he doesn't know. But
Pettis was
like, I looked up Shane.
No, man. No.
Shane's not going to be a source of information here.
He had the 2-touchdown game. With Tyson Bagent hitting him for 2, he had a punt return that went backwards. But you know, he's not noted for big time skills as a punt returner, but sure hands as a punt returner. No, as of what I had seen, even 12-13 hours ago, I thought Dante Pettis was injury free and was going to make this roster.
Yeah, that one is certainly curious to me. I don't, because he's another player that, in my opinion, and you know, viewing it somewhat more through the wide receiver lens, because that's where Velus Jones had been spending the majority of his young Bears career. But of course, the running back position being, you know, fairly deep and formidable also. But those are the two position groups, the two meeting rooms. Are you wondering where does Velus Jones fit into that? But Colin Johnson being, you know, being waived and likely headed to the practice squad. Dante Pettis heading to IR. So those are two players that, at least in my mind, I viewed Velus Jones being in direct competition with for roster spots. And I say, yeah, they've performed at a level that would make more sense to keep them than Jones. But as of right now, neither one of them on the 53 for their own respective reasons.
So, I mean, there are some players who this means have made the first 53-man roster. Josh Blackwell, you know, people like that. You know, Khalil Herbert, there was some thought that maybe he was vulnerable. But
was
others
never going to happen.
Was never vulnerable, according to a lot. DeAndre Carter looks like will make this team as a punt returner and a reserve wide receiver. But the headline is the name that you brought up. Velus Jones Jr. has made this team. You know, is there a chance that could change between now and Tuesday? You said Tuesday, that first game check is the one that kind of most people target.
Right.
We'll see, and we'll talk about it with Chris Emmon a little bit. But 20 years ago today, Anthony Heron cut by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Sorry.
I've been signed and waived a bunch, been cut and released in back in my playing days. I was not aware that today was one of those anniversaries. So yeah, 20 years since the Steelers cut me loose. That's the team I was with for the most brief amount of time. They signed me at the start of training camp, released me at the end of training camp, but that was just a camp body situation in Pittsburgh. So it
and
was
you
brief.
Knew that? You knew that at the time?
Knew that going in, yeah. I mean, I've been in Detroit, Green Bay, and Atlanta before that. So I'd gotten vested by that point that Pittsburgh signed me up. But just the mentality, the mindset was at least different going in there into that situation in Pittsburgh, where I knew they didn't have any loyalty to me. I knew they didn't have any responsibility, any investment in me at that point. And going in there after I'd bounced around the NFL for a while, I'd even gone to the Arena Football League and come back. But I felt different at that point. Like I mentioned earlier, the first time you get cut is one thing, where you haven't been through the ringer yet. When you've been through the ringer, when you've made teams and you've gotten cut by teams and you had other teams sign you and recognize it, there's other folks out here who recognize I can play the game. I'm auditioning for the entire league, not just for this one team. The first time you cut and you hit waivers and you come back and somebody else says, yeah, we actually think you're really good, then that's a good feeling, and it does – it provides a little bit of agency to you the next time you're potentially going to go through that process.
Anthony Herron gave Shane Reardon a research project. We will touch on that in the final hour as we are out of here for Cubs baseball close to 5 o'clock. But next, it's Chris Emma with all of the latest on the roster moves that we just brought you. We'll put all of that into context for you here on the afternoon show on 670 The Score.